This is another episode of Connecting the Dots podcast. I'm Skip Stewart, Vice President and Chief Improvement Officer at Baptist Memorial Healthcare.
I'm Gemma Jones. I'm an improvement coach and trainer based in the UK and working with the team at Baptist.
Well, folks, we have a special guest today. We have Kelly Mallory, and we're going to be talking to Kelly today about scientific thinking on our own thinking. I know that sounds a little meta right now, so hopefully you'll explore that with me, but scientific thinking on our own thinking. But before we jump right into that, Kelly, if you would, tell our listeners a little bit about you and about your background.
I would love to, and I am delighted to be here today, coming to you from the Reagan International Airport on my travel. So that's a fun time. So who am I? I am an operational excellence manager for Giant Medical. We're a small medical contract manufacturer. And so I support a couple of sites with their transformation and their operational excellence journeys. Additionally, in July of this last year, I launched my own coaching and consulting business, Kelly Mallory Coaching and Consulting, very catchy name. And my purpose, what I try to do is help people break through that common element of resistance in their transformations by changing the way we lead through transformation, which gets us back to how we think and scientific thinking in conjunction with that. And I actually know Gemma from being a many year, I think it's 5 year practitioner in the Kata Girl Geeks, an avid and active participant in the Kata community. So I'm delighted to have this conversation.
Thank you so much for being with us, Kelly. So I want to get right into this then. So you've talked to, we've sort of mentioned this concept of applying scientific thinking to our own thinking, but what made you think about that as a concept?
What a good question, because this is not something we normally think about, right? It's hard to think about our own thinking, that metacognition. So I'm going to tell you a quick story about my very first experience in the KGG. So Kata Girl Geeks, if you don't know. So let me take you back to a summer day that I've just come home from work with my new stepdaughters, and they're home, and I'm very excited to end my week on a Friday, just relax, come home and, you know, decompress, get dinner ready, have a fabulous weekend. And I come in to the house expecting to be able to just come and put my things down, grab a drink and hear about the girls' days and my husband's, of course. And I walk in and my kitchen has been turned into this mad science lab where all over the counter are glasses of water with packing peanuts, those type that you can dissolve in water, in various states of experimentation. And I wish that my first reaction had been, oh, amazing, she's practicing scientific thinking. However, not exactly what happened. When I walked in, my thoughts were immediately, oh my gosh, how many times have I told her to clean the kitchen up? She can't leave things like this. And then my brain started spiraling and I could feel the blood pressure rising in me. And like in a cartoon, I think I turned red from my toes to the top of my head and steam came out of my ears. And I was just paralyzed with this frustration. And all of a sudden, my husband came over to me to check in because I hadn't moved. I'm stationary in our kitchen staring at the sink. And he checks and says, hey, what's going on? And I unloaded on him. Like, this is unacceptable. Haven't we talked to her about this? This is not okay. And on and on. And he was so kind and thoughtful. And he just put his hand on my shoulder and he said, babe, she's 9. What do you expect? And it was that moment that I really was like, oh my God, what do I expect? Being a first-time stepmother coming into this new home and environment, I realized that my thinking was taking me down this horrible path of thinking about my stepdaughters, not as the beautiful, explorative, and curious young women that they were, but things that were just in my way of having a nice time in my home. And that was the moment that I realized I needed to change my thinking And it just so happened that I was starting in my very first learning group with the Kata Girl Geeks, and I decided that that was going to be my first challenge, was working on my relationships with my stepdaughters and specifically how I think about them. And thus began my journey of discovering scientific thinking in the context of how we think and working with other people on improving this.
I mean, this is, it's incredible, Kelly. It's really wonderful. And I knew about your challenge in that learning group. I didn't know about that story, about what sort of pushed you into choosing that as a challenge. And I remember you talking about the benefits of that challenge and the, you know, the outcomes and how much it changed the way you looked at how you interacted as a family and how you worked together as a group and how you and your husband interacted. Can you tell us a bit more about that, about the outcomes?
Yes. So right at the beginning of this challenge, I had this mindset that, right, this is my house, my environment, and everybody else is just in my way of me having the peaceful environment I want. And by the end, I recognized that the thoughts I had were not true all of the time. So I confessed everything I thought. And I learned how to better communicate with my stepdaughters and my husband by experimenting on doing that very thing, and how to show affection, how to kind of share some of my frustrations in a constructive way that then led us all to changing together to have a better family unit instead of what was happening before and what I see in a lot of change initiatives where individuals are trying to work the change their own ways and not coming together to talk through some of that thinking that's occurring in their heads and how that's getting in their own way. And so now our family is very open with communication and much better at talking about those feelings, thoughts, frustrations. And gosh, we have a great time together now.
Really good. Really good. I didn't realize how much I tend to think about experimenting, or as you called it, scientific thinking on our thinking, but I think you're spot on. I think about conversations I'll go into sometimes to use our Kata framework. I'm going to say this, and I expect this is going to happen. And I get surprised that something completely different happens many times. Whether that conversation is with a work colleague or whether it's with a family member, right? And so that intentionality towards doing that. But I also think that's interesting in the world of learners and consultants and authors. I was listening to Steve Spear today. I know Steve very well. I love his writings. And I loved at the end of the podcast, he said, he asked everyone, would they please write in and tell him the mistakes that they think they found in his book so that he could learn, right? So in other words, in the book, he just lays out his brain. He lays out his thinking. And he's now ending the podcast with saying, I know there's mistakes. I just don't know where they're at. So does that kind of go along also with kind of what you've been exploring?
Absolutely. And I love that you mentioned every conversation we enter into is an experiment. We have especially no idea what another person is going to say. There are so many variables when we're dealing with human beings. And it's really important, I think, to come in with that kind of attitude of, okay, well, what do I expect to happen based on how I come into it, my mood, my thinking, my approach? And then importantly, comparing afterward, okay, so what happened compared to my expectation? Because I can learn something about the other person. I can learn something about the approach and some of the context. And then I can learn something about myself. And I think that's something that is so important that we don't do enough of. And it is a little bit of being just very honest about our own thinking and how we come into it, that we don't do enough self-examination in that regard.
So Kelly, if someone is not a Kata practitioner, you know, a learner with a coach or a coach with a second coach, if they're not a practitioner, how might they use this principle, you know, to help them develop their leadership or their relationships with people that work with them or for them?
So if you're not a practitioner, that's okay. And there are a couple of basic elements or fundamentals of kata and scientific thinking that I think translate into every interaction we have, every way we come into a situation that are relatively straightforward. So the first is this approach of everything is an experiment. So before any conversation, any conversation, what is your intention? What is your plan? So especially if it's a leader to a team, okay, how am I going to share this message? What exactly is going to be my, you know, the way I deliver it? Are there specific words I need to use? All of that. Even the environment. How do I want to shape the environment? All of that. But then really importantly is then setting a hypothesis for, if I do it in this way, I think this is the outcome I'm going to get. And specifically, this is how I think people will feel coming from this. This is how engaged or interactive or how they might respond to this. And then once you do that before the conversation, very importantly, right, set your intention, the plan, come up with the expectation. And then afterward, give yourself a little time after the conversation to really reflect on what really happened, like facts, what don't pretend what happened. Let's be honest with ourselves. What really happened? And then comparing your expectation and that what actually happened, what can you learn from that? What can you learn about the other person? What can you learn about how you set the conversation up and what worked or didn't work? And what can you learn about yourself? Because during that, especially when something doesn't go like we expect, that's really where we learn the most about ourselves and what triggers us and what other hidden expectations we might have had that we weren't clear on. So that's the first thing a person who doesn't practice kata can use, is that experimentation mindset. And then I think the second thing that's really helpful to me is what we call in kata grasping the current condition, which is all about really understanding what is happening right now in a process. And for this, it's really great if you can journal and observe, how am I thinking and reacting to things? What are the thoughts? What are the feelings? Where do they show up in my body? That's another really interesting and important thing, because that will help you see early signs of a thought coming and a reaction that you can learn to read a little sooner. So those are two things that I've found really helpful just in everyday life.
Awesome. So Kelly, tell us a bit more about that. You know, where do I feel that in my body? Like, what does that look like?
So I can share an example for me. So I have learned that when I am in a team meeting environment, there are particular points where I will get incredibly impatient with a team. And as a change leader, if I am impatient with a team and that comes out, they're going to immediately shut down, not trust me, not want to listen, not be open to my support. And so I've had that experience, unfortunately, where that did happen. And so what I've learned is to recognize, because I have a hard time pinpointing the exact phrase from somebody else or what is happening in the environment to trigger this, but I can pinpoint the feeling. And what it feels like for me in my body is there is like a pack of butterflies on crack that are just fluttering around really hard. And it starts in my stomach, but it moves upward into my throat. And it's like they want to get out so hard that my whole body starts to vibrate. And I can, when I begin to feel those butterflies coming up, I know, I'm like, okay, I'm coming into a moment of impatience. And I can do some techniques, breathing or focusing on the feeling of the chair, something external physically that takes my attention away from that and helps calm me down, slow my heart rate, lower my blood pressure on all of that, so that I don't become extremely impatient with everybody around me and I can continue to build positive relation and interaction with them.
Really interesting. This, my mind's going in so many places right now. You know, one of the things that Gemma would tell you is that sometimes I like to make her feel uncomfortable. Now, part of it's not just to be a jerk the reason I'm doing it is to stretch the thinking. So she would tell you, yeah, he likes to do it to me with AI. And I like AI a lot. But I know it makes her uncomfortable. So I like to see what she might say that might make me say, I never thought of it that way, and those people I find to be the most enjoyable around, that there might be something that they hadn't considered, and they're open. They're open to say, we live in such a world, Kelly, it feels like, whether it's you write a book, or whether it's that you're considered a subject matter, quote unquote, expert, I think that sometimes that can condition you not to think, right? Mm-hmm. And then all of a sudden think that, this paradigm I have and this echo chamber I live in is all there is. But in reality, that's not the case, right? And so I love this idea of scientific thinking on our own thinking. For me, I do it with conversations a lot, not just difficult conversations, but even, I joked about teasing Gemma, even something like that. I mean, we actually, Gemma and I started to have a conversation last week that we didn't actually get to explore more, but it was one of those that made me think all weekend. I was like, I'd love to know what she meant by that, And so I think this idea of really exploring our thinking, because I'll go back to my old days, so my healthcare professionals won't know who I'm talking about. But in my early career, I was influenced by a gentleman by the name of, let's see if either one of y'all know this person. His name was Junichi Taguchi. And so they were known as these Taguchi studies. And they had the loss function. And I remember listening to him speak once, before he passed away. And someone, in the background, some engineer that was going to really show him up, said, well, what about this, this, and this? And this Japanese man was so humble. He said, oh, yes, you are right. I did write that, but I no longer believe that anymore. And I thought, look at the humility of that gentleman. So I think this idea of scientific thinking on our own thinking, that at any given moment we could be wrong. And so I don't really push Gemma to make her frustrated. I do it to see if I'm about to learn something. So is that kind of how you've been exploring this?
Yes, but not so intentionally, like, let me see if I can annoy this person today. but absolutely, right? Every single interaction I have, I afterward kind of think about, okay, how did that go compared to what I thought might happen? And what do I now know about this person so that the next time I come approach them, I run another experiment. I do something a little differently. And it's a little exhausting to have your brain always doing this, I will admit. But now that I've learned to do this and to see this, it's really hard to turn off. But it does mean that, I no longer have passing interactions that don't bring me value. Every single interaction I have in the world with everybody adds something for me from a learning perspective. I learn every single time I talk to somebody, or even when you don't and you're just doing the nonverbal communication. It's amazing what can open up for you in the world when you think about it this way.
There's a book by Adam Grant where he's got a definition of scientific thinking where he talks about it's all about being actively open-minded. Mm-hmm. And that's what really is coming to mind for me, Kelly, when you talk about that. And that it's almost like, for me, it feels like it's a switch in my brain to, I've gone from being closed mind to open mind all the time. And that's a choice.
Yes.
But you can also learn for it to be a habit. And yes, once you've practiced it enough, as with any of this, it, mm-hmm, it kind of does become a habit, and it enables you then. Well, if you're actively open-minded enough, you're then able to learn from that.
Yes. And I've found that what then really surprises me is when I find my switch has turned to closed-minded, because it still happens. Yes. And so then it becomes a very interesting, what about this thing or this environment situation, yes, is making me think in this closed way again? And then it's a whole other set of learning that can happen.
Well, and that in itself is really interesting. Yeah, like, mm-hmm, you say, as to why that happened within me or within the environment or within the relationship. Mm-hmm. Interesting.
So very interesting. So I didn't intend to bring this back to AI, but I'm going to right now. So if you know, if you, I don't know if you do this, Kelly, I'd be interested in that, you know, my friend, Jeremy Utley is a professor at the D School in Stanford. He has a fantastic podcast called Beyond the Prompt. And he talks about that you, the human, are the thought leader. And the, we'll call it ChatGPT. The AI is the thought partner. And I actually find myself quite often having conversations with the robot known as ChatGPT. And not that I'm looking for the answer, but I'm trying to understand how might I think about this. And what I've learned to do recently is when it gives me that response, I'll say, with what line of logic did you use to come up with that? And many times it's different than what I thought.
So that's very cool.
Yeah, well, it's only because my wife has to ask me, who are you talking to in there? But I think it's healthy, right? Because we all have these paradigms. We all have these cognitive biases. And we need to know, why do we believe what we believe, right? How did we get to that line of thinking? And could there be any gray area, or is it just completely binary?
Right. Or could the other person, especially if it's, you know, two people with two different, you know, levels of thinking, is it, am I right? Are they wrong? Are we both right? Are we both wrong? Which I think is mostly true, those last two. Everybody is a little bit right and everybody is a little bit wrong as well. But if we don't question that and we don't then, you know, put yourself in that position to think, okay, how is my thinking flawed here? Which I think is a wonderful question to ask yourself. Then you're right. You'll never realize that you're coming in and with a bias and what bias that is, and you'll never actually connect with the other person if you don't open yourself up to that line of thinking. Or in your case, Skip, you'll never connect with the AI.
Well, and in my AI experiments, you know, they're somewhat easier because many times they are technical. Like I heard a gentleman that talked about they were going to go bankrupt. They went through all the possibilities of how to restructure the debt. They couldn't figure it out. They went to ChatGPT and it came up with ways it never even thought of. Now, that's a more technical example. I think the areas where I don't use AI are the more grayer social areas. How did I make someone feel? Not what I intended. How did I actually make them feel? That wasn't my intention, but now I can see, when I reflect back, I can see why they felt that way, right? Maybe it was my tone. Maybe it was when I said it. Maybe it was the inappropriate time. So I'm really kind of nerding out right now. I love this idea that you're introducing to us, Kelly, about scientific thinking on our own thinking. If we have a desire to be the expert, if we have a desire to be the grand poopah authority, then I think we're going to be less likely to experiment. Don't you think?
I do. And I think that's what I have run into in my career as a lean and continuous improvement practitioner. Many people I've worked with that have been in the industry and practice for so long are very carved in their way of doing it. And it might, you know, yield results and still be effective. But then I think that leaves them open to, or really closed to, any new possibility, any new way of doing it. And I am definitely a very firm believer of there is no right way. And what might have been right there might not be right here. And even if it was right there, was it really? And there's always a new opportunity to learn and understand what path is right for any person, any organization, any team. But we get very stuck in our own past and experiences that this is the way. And I can't see myself to that. And maybe I'll rethink that someday. Like, maybe I'm wrong here. And that's okay.
I think so much of this, Kelly, is about the reflection. Skip just talked about it. And you talked about it a bit in terms of, you know, that reflection piece at the end, that opportunity to look back and see what you've learned from something, see what you can do, you could do differently, see, you know, what the chain of logic was, that reflection. And that really requires a commitment I think, you know, because it'd be much easier just to carry on. I did a thing. I did another thing. I did another thing. Well done. Yeah. I can do, I do lots of things. I'm terribly important and terribly, you know, efficient and effective. And I think what we're talking about here is people kind of slowing down and taking some time and putting some energy into actually thinking and reflecting on what they've done.
Mm-hmm. Which you said it very well is very difficult and it's very taxing.
Yeah.
Which means that not everybody wants to do it because it is hard. I think it is more enriching though, personally. I feel like I have a more rich life because I do this, because I'm constantly learning so that later on in life, I won't look back and be like, ah, shoot, I missed that one or I missed that opportunity. I will have nothing to regret looking back because every step of the way I learned and I adjusted my path.
I think you're spot on. I think you're spot on. It is more enriching, right? I keep on name dropping it with Steve Spear and others. I'm going to name drop again. Her name is Sarah Hindman. Love following her. For those that don't know who I'm talking about, look her up. And she wrote a book called Fonts Matter. And she runs experiments on how our eyesight and fonts are connected to our even our taste. She does this experiment where she takes the same chips and puts them in two different bags with completely different fonts. And one group says they're wonderful, they're tasty, they're salty. And the other group says they're stale, they're nasty, and they're the same chips, right? But she's taking experimentation and taking it in an area that maybe isn't traditionally talked about, right? She's taking, maybe it's not manufacturing, maybe it's not healthcare where I live, but it's in a world that says, hey, experimentation is everywhere, whether you want to embrace it that way or not. So I really like that you've challenged us to think about how we think, right? And what might we learn, right? Because isn't, you know, we're all involved, all three of us, with the Kata movement. Isn't that really the point? To learn, you know, that I used to think this way, but now I've discovered something different. And it's so much, to use your word, enriching. Well, Kelly, this has been so awesome talking to you. I'm really hoping that you would consider coming back again, and we'd like to further this conversation. We'd like to talk more. The thing I liked so much about this conversation was this was a practitioner that's living in the real world, and this is what you're thinking about. And so you're thinking about how do you think? You're thinking about how do you run scientific thinking on your thinking? And I think that's good, whether that's a technical example like I gave with finance or whether it's a relationship example, right? I see so many times where maybe someone's offended, maybe they don't feel respected. And I'll hear the other person say, well, that wasn't my intentions. And I'm always thinking, well, that's irrelevant. They're still offended. They're offended whether you meant to offend them or not. Might you take a second to reflect and think, why did they get offended? You know, so Kelly, thank you so much. This is the very first time in about 230 episodes that we've ever talked about scientific thinking on our own thinking. So you're a first. And so thank you so much for coming on the podcast. So on behalf of Baptist Memorial Healthcare, we're so grateful for you. We'd love to have you back again. And we're just so, so thankful for you coming on today.
Oh, thank you, Skip. This has been a delight. It's a topic near and dear to my heart. So I'm happy to have come on and gotten to learn from both of you too in our time together.
Awesome. Thank you.